the bill tomorrow.
All right.
Brother Green, thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
And a Merry Christmas to all of you. We're so happy to be back again this morning here at the Tabernacle to be with this lovely little group. Brother Grimm and I were just discussing in there matters. He said, Brother Bill, you got anything on your heart this morning? I said, just cry. Say, man, that's all. We always have that. And so that's in common to us, that we have him. Got in late yesterday from Dallas where we had one of the most glorious meetings. And the thing we've been praying for now is fixing to happen. It's already in session right now. That is for a nationwide revival. All the ministers yesterday, the last few days, that's had any size and caliber minister or services, we met together at Dallas for this convention. And there were some 15, 18 ministers there that has a ministry that carries up anywhere between 3 and 15,000, maybe 20,000 people. Raymond T. Ritchie, for instance, and Bosworth, and Oral Roberts, and Jackson, and all those fellows there. Brother Jackson, the other night in his meeting, had 500 receive the Holy Ghost at one time.
Praise the Lord.
So that's just wonderful. And we all met together the other day, on working agreements for the year that we believe that God is here to do a work and a stirring the world has never seen before. I believe, friends, that we're just entering something wonderful. And these ministers who will probably have every night this next summer, if the Lord permits us, every night will be at least for anywhere from to be 15 or 16, maybe more than that big tent set that holds up to 8,000 and 10,000 people around the United States at the same time. Oh, we just got to have revival now. It's already in session. Hundreds and hundreds are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into the kingdom of God now. It's not something that we even look forward for a little later on, but it's already now. God's doing it right now. Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Green. That's the thing that I always... It's good. You know, Brother Green and I work together so well. He's so tall and I'm so short, so...
He picks the low fruit and I get all the high fruit.
Sometimes I have to ask him to shake some down. Thank you, Brother Green. I still haven't figured that out. The fire. We want it on the altar, don't we? Amen. Well, the other night we were sitting thousands deep in there and all of them clapping their hands and praising God. We just had such a glorious time. We had fire right on the altar then. And we're very happy to announce this coming summer for the revival. And I'll be with the church here with Brother Grimm and you all for the next 8 or 10 days, I guess, as far as I know, and want to be in every service that possibly can. Then we leave from there to the Houston, Texas, at the Coliseum. We've got a nice big building there that seats 17,000 people, and we're just expecting a great time. Tried to have all of us have a prayer line down there, but we just couldn't do it. One minister at one place, one another the prayer line, but it just wouldn't work that way. It's just Brother Jagger's had to go ahead and say another thing I want to announce. Brother Jagger stood and took the stand like we did at Calgary. The Missionary Baptists and the Free Will Baptists, and all, you know, Texas is full of Baptists, they stood for him, but the Fundamental Baptists rose up against the program. And all how they wrote him up in the paper and everything, well, they wrote him Bible questions, so he answered back, and they got a, if they had no proof, then some bunch of political stand why they wouldn't put it in the paper. So Brother Jaggers, we called a meeting there, and 75 cooperating ministers of the city came in together. We took a photostatic copy of it and said, is this freedom of speech? Is this freedom of press? Like that, and sent it out. And the paper lost 10,000 subscribers the next morning. And they come crying on their knees that we have published in the paper just freely. You don't have to pay us a penny. Oh, brother, listen, you church. One time we lived down by the railroad track. We don't no more. We live on Hallelujah Avenue now.
Yes, sir.
We rank into the millions. We used to be as only a few hundred of us, but we go into the millions, millions now. And united together, we're the most powerful church in numbers there is in the United States. That's right. All right. I guess in the world. Last year alone, we had 1,500,000 conversions. Think of that. 1,500,000 conversions in full gospel people. That is with the general orders last year. Oh, we're coming up now. And these little papers and things have been, they wouldn't talk about the Catholic people. They were afraid of them. See, they were afraid to do it, but we're numbering right on up there now. We got a right. Let's claim our God-given right.
That's right.
So we're going forward this year with God to be our help and our shield and cause us. Try our best to have a revival. Now, up here. You all have to tell me when to stop. Up there. Right up there. All right, I can walk out this way and look back. And so good. How many feels good for Christmas? Say amen.
Oh, my.
This is a time of rejoicing. The time of when all of us can come together and worship Christ. And I haven't got a message, not a thing. I've just opened up the Bible here when he's talking there. Turned over here, I said, where's the birth of Christ? And everybody's talking about that now, so I'll just have to read a little while and then find something. Just keep staggering along until the Spirit of the Lord picks up something. Now, to start, let's begin at Luke, the first chapter of Luke. That's the beginning of the birth of Christ. And we'll read some in here and just teach some on the Word if we can. We don't know what the Lord will do for us, but we just trust that He'll give us a great blessing. They heard your broadcast. It was fine. Just keep it going. Keep it going. Preach the Word. Just tell him, Brother Graham, in there, if there ever was a time that Christians need one another, it's right now. Right now. Whatever you do, lay aside everything, because I believe by the grace of God, I'll just talk on that a little bit in a few minutes, that how we need each other right now. The great, I believe that we're facing, are you listening to me? All right. We're facing now, looking at a great, this drama that's ever been set in all human history, working out here before us. The great field of the world here, and a drama that God is going to act out right now. It's startling to look around over the world and see how the thing is moving together. Oh, yes, something fixing to happen, friend. This what we've talked about and said about is right now here. It's already starting everywhere, breaking out. There's a great picture. I like the picture to you this morning. I see a lamb out in the field to feed. The little fellow becomes nervous. He wonders. Look over the reeds right behind him. I see a lion slipping up, really easy. Patting his tail on the ground, getting his feet ready for a spring. That's the church out there in the field. The darkness of communism is pushing all over the world, closing in like a great shadow. And this is a law of contrast. Take like before day. It's always the darkness before day because the day, the breaking, pushing the darkness. It's a law of contrast, you see, makes it the darkness before the day breaks. And we're in that same thing now. It's just the darkest before day. The great shadows of darkness is pushing in to fulfill the man of sin. Did you notice this very Christmas time? All the communist countries are, instead of sending out the Christ in the manger, they sent out little books of Stalin, putting Stalin's picture on it. The man who opposes himself above all is called God, and so forth. Getting a great part of the world into his clutches. And another thing then, and all these, that's to fulfill the Scripture. And then again, I want you to notice another thing, one of the fulfilling. These people who are formal, and these formal churches, is rising up against the moon. And the Bible says they'd have a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And they're taking their stand. Communism is taking its stand. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is taking its stand.
Amen.
Yes, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then I'll raise up a standard against it.
Amen.
That's right. And the church is taking her stand. I mean the Holy Ghost church. Now that's all I'm interested in, friends. And I'm here. Out there I pray for the sick, but in here I'm interested in one thing, and that's God's born-again church. That's right. That's what I'm interested in anyhow. I'm not interested in bylaws and deacons and so forth like that, or orders of churches. I'm interested in the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the church for this day that we're living in.
Amen.
That's the fundamental part, and that's what we're looking for. Just a word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, move down this morning into our midst. Grant it, Lord, and may the Spirit of God take over the service. Bless the work here, Lord. Bless our brother Graham. God give him words of wisdom tonight at the radio broadcast. May he be able to shake the people by preaching the word. Grant it, Lord. May sinners weep, kneel down in their room and give their hearts to Christ. If there be any unbelievers here this morning or any that have not accepted Christ, may they come also. And now, start a revival in the hearts of the people this morning, Lord. May this be a renewing time, a time when the Spirit will be renewed. And oh, Father, we pray it this way. Come get us by the hand, each one of us. Walk us down this lane here. Show to us this great picture that's set in order here. Revealing your secrets to the saints' hearts this morning, that we might see what's out here just before. And as we walk down them, Lord, in the armor of God, may we go as gallant soldiers to face the enemy. But how can we face him unless we know his techniques? And help us this morning to understand and show us his foregrounds there so we'll know where to meet him. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the second chapter. Let's read this. And it came to pass that in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world that they should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went also up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth and to Judah, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the date of her accomplishment, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling's clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now, just as a background, till we get up to the part of it that I would use this morning, and all of you just let yourself be in the Spirit of the Lord. We're today all over the world is being celebrated the birth of Jesus, which now is just traditional. Jesus was not born on December the 5th or nothing like, or December the 25th. We know that's impossible. The hills of Judea was full of snow at that time, so how could it be that Jesus commonly by astronomers and so forth and by all of us born around 1st of April? So when it's springtime. But this is a day which is all right, just set aside to worship in memorial of his coming to the world. One of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to the world was Jesus Christ. That we know that. And now I want to speak this morning upon his deity, who he is. So many has him a little baby laying out there in a cradle and so forth. Well, that was just one of the pictures, just one of the setting forth of the drama to bring it up to what he really is, his deity. And he said in the scriptures of his coming, he has been spoke of since the days of John, plumb back even into Genesis. It was prophesied that the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head, promising this child, Christ Jesus. And he's been down all the prophets, most every prophet that was ever wrote in the Bible spoke of his first and second advent when he has come to the world. Jesus comes three times. He came the first time to redeem his church. He comes the second time to receive his church. He comes the third time with his church. Everything in the Bible travels in trinities, threes, but all in one Christ. You can remember the first time to redeem his church. The second time to receive his church. The third time with his church as king and queen. Now, but on his first coming, we'll speak of just a little bit, and then on his being here, and then on his second coming, and then on the third time, if the Lord willing. Now, in these days, there was a great persecution against the church. Caesar Augusta had made a great plan that he attacks all the people, and that was only done for one purpose, that God's great prophecy would be fulfilled. Only thing you have to do when you see something in the Bible, it sounds just a little mystic and a little superstitious to you,
Just give God a little bit of time. God's in no hurry. We're the one who gets in a hurry. Just give God just a little bit of time, and you'll see the old prophetic wheels, cogs run right up into the picture. It'll develop. Just like a bringing up of a picture. Like someone was speaking the other day, said, God, what was he? When he was back under millions and millions of years ago, when he was no, just like this space here. And then he gathered up into the Logos. And then he came from the Logos down into Christ. See, it's just God coming down like this to the earth, then going right back into God again. Don't you see what I mean? Just revolving, coming down from space, from eternity, rolling together, coming down into the Logos, Logos down into man, then returning right back again for one purpose, to redeem that man that had fallen. Now that's what he came for, to be a redeemer. And before God could be a redeemer, he had to be, according to the law, a kinsman redeemer. He had to be kinfolks to us. And God, in the beginning, made his first man. He made him out of spirit. And spirit is the invisible part of man that you don't see. Now, God made man in his own image. Are you listening to me? All right. God made man in his own image. And God is a spirit, said the Bible. And the first man that was made had the government over all the creation, just like the Holy Spirit has government over the church today. He led the creation. He led the animals. But there was no man to till the soil, so God made man out of the dust of the earth. And that man, he might have given him a hand like a monkey. He might have given him feet like a bear. Whatever he did, he just threw it together and made a man. But this man, he put this immortal spirit that never dies into this man, and he become more than a brute. He became a man. Then this man here, that's what I think of atheists and some of them standing around arguing, but the hour has come when God shed forth his life. There's an hour here that when God's doing things. That's right. And so now when they argue, well, his feet look like a bear and his hands look like an ape or a monkey or so forth, they try to say his origin comes. That has nothing to do with this. This is a body of flesh that he's just living in like a house. It's going back to the dust of the earth, but the spirit is immortal. It comes from God. That's the image of God. God is a spirit. That man lost his origin in the Garden of Eden. His relationship, communion with God, was cut off there because of sin and unbelief. Unbelief in what? The Word of God. A picture was painted one time to Eve and told her how much brighter it would be if she just discard the Word of God. Look over here to reason. You can't. There's a difference between reason and God's Word. God's Word is true. Reason's false. You can't reason out nothing. That's right. Our mind's is not good enough or never will be to fathom God's eternal wisdom. And therefore, you can't reason it. You just got to believe it. And so then the picture was painted out back there to our first father and mother. And they fell, and that broke off relationship with God and was drove from the Garden of Eden. From that hour, God began to scream up and down the gardens hunting for his lost child. And then the only way that God then could ever redeem him would have to be to come down and redeem him himself, not send somebody else. He couldn't send an angel. That wouldn't be right. But the only way God could redeem the man was come down himself and redeem it. If somebody sins here, and I was a judge of this group of people, and I had the jurisdiction over you all, and if someone sinned, and I said, now, Brother Grimm, I want you to pay the price, that wouldn't be just. If I said for my own boy to pay the price, that still wouldn't be just. The only way that I can be just is for me, myself, to take his place. And what I was one passed the judgment, and then if I want to redeem the man, I've got to take his place myself. Are you still listening at me? Now look, I want you to notice something. Then, when the only way that God himself could ever redeem this man was to come down and take his place. And that was a law that was given by Moses of redemption, that it had to be through a kinsman redeemer, a man first who was worthy, a man who was worth the price, a man then who would make a public testimony and redeem the lost estate of somebody that had fallen. And then God was worthy. He came down some 1900 years ago in the form of a baby born in a manger overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, not born by sexual desire. He was God. God's blood was in him. The baby is always the blood of its father, never of its mother. We all know that. I've taught that before here at times, and you know that the baby has not one speck of its mother's blood in it. Not a bit. No, nothing does. It's always the blood of the male. A hen can lay an egg, but if it isn't fertile, it'll never hatch. No matter how pretty the egg is and how well she warms it, it'll always be unfertile. It'll lay right there and rot. That's right. Unless the male bird has been with the female bird and the germ of life comes from the male. Therefore, when Mary, knowing not a man, she was with the male, God, the Almighty Jehovah, and he overshadowed her, and God is the creator that created a blood cell in the womb of Mary, knowing no man at all, and that brought forth the very creative blood of God to redeem us from our life coming in here, being born of sexual desire. And then that blood was drawn out of Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross, and the day has the same saving, redeeming, holy power that it did the day the transfusion was made out of Calvary. You believe it? Amen. Now, that's right. We're redeemed by the blood of God. The Bible says we are bought by the blood and redeemed by God's own blood. How was it God's blood? God has no blood. How could it be? Because it was God's creative blood that he created in order to redeem us and came and lived in the same body that he created. Therefore, he could not, God had to suffer temptation. He couldn't suffer temptation. He had to suffer sexual temptation. He had to suffer all kinds of temptation, to be tempted by the devil and riches and powers and dominions and so forth. He had to suffer all of that. In order to do it, he couldn't be as God in spirit. He had to be God in flesh. Now, I'm speaking this morning on the deity of Christ, so that you'll know who he is that we're worshiping today. Not a baby in a manger or not Santa Claus, but we're worshiping Almighty God in the deity of his Son. And notice then that blood came down and it was Christ Jesus. And God himself coming out of spirit went into Christ Jesus, and the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Is that right? God himself, Jehovah, lived in Christ and was made a kinsman to us because he was born in human flesh like we are. Is that right? The blood cells were developed by God. And the flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary that brought forth the child. And God came down and lived in human flesh and was tempted in every manner just like we are. Do you believe that? All right. Now, then when he did that, he freely gave his blood. He didn't have to do it. He made that sacrifice. He could have went right on up into glory. He could have been transfigured like he was on Mount Transfiguration, went on into heaven, and never died for us, but to be willing to die for us, he gave freely his blood at Calvary. That's right. And he picked out, he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And he made a public testimony in the book of Ruth. There's a very beautiful picture there. How that Boaz, type of Christ, how that Ruth went over in a strange country as a backslide and went out of the land and brought back with her, Naomi, and brought back Ruth. And when Ruth came back, she was of the country of Moab, and when she came back, she was a Moabite. Absolutely a picture of the Gentile bride of the church. And when she went to leave Naomi told her, said, kissed her and told her, go back to her people. She said, I will go with you to your people. Let your people be my people, and let your dwellings be my dwellings. Let your God be my God, and nothing but death shall separate us. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Now, that's a picture of the Gentile church coming into Christ, because we were once aliens away from God. Only the Jews was the ones to be saved, but we being dead in Christ take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. And Christ got a Gentile bride. That's exactly right. Now, in order to redeem Boaz, to redeem Naomi's lost estate, that was the backslid state of Israel, then Moab had to come out, and when he did, when he came out, he had to kick off his shoe before the gates, before the elders, to make a public testimony that he had redeemed that lost woman and her estate. And in doing that, then he bought back also, he got in there his bride, the woman he is looking for. He had to redeem the woman first in order to get the bride, don't you see? And that's the same thing Christ did. He made a public testimony at the gates of Jerusalem when he was beaten, smitten, afflicted, and was led up Calvary's cow of Golgotha's heel and bathe the heel with his own blood as a public testimony that he had redeemed all the fallen estate from back down to the beginning and has redeemed his people from the curse of sin and from the clutches of hell. And knowing that she would need something more in the last days than what she's got now, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will abide with you forever. A little while the world seeth me no more, but I'm going up to heaven to get this thing fixed up, and I'll come back and be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. That's what I'm talking about. You still hear me? Say amen. That's right. That's what I'm speaking of now, is him coming again in his power. Ages has flowed on. Oh, who is he? My, this morning you think of some little object of worship, some little manger out there, some little that. I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of Christ, the hope of glory in our hearts this morning by the Holy Ghost. That's right. Oh, condemned by the world. God has always come into the world. When he did, the world hated him as it was in the days of Noah. So will it be in the coming of the Son of God. We're in that day, friends. And now notice, a little while the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you even in you, even to the end of the world. That's right, he's here now. End of the days, how his big picture always reviled up and made the same thing come to pass that we're seeing now, the great drama set, and we're ready now to see great things happen. The church has been brought from the cradle. That's right. Pentecostal rocked it down yonder a few years ago back there while the people throwed stones and made fun and laughed at. But she grew to maturity now. That's exactly right. Now we're here. Hallelujah. That's right. That's what I'm interested in, to see God's church coming together now. We've been beat out here and beat out there, but the hour's coming when God's throwing the blanket around us all to draw us in. For the enemy's at the gate. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He said in that for his people, Daniel said, the great things of the last days when these things come to pass, my, the great exploits will the people and the man of faith will do. And that day and the hours come now that when the great drama picture of God set forth of the latter rain. Joel said, in the last days this shall come to pass, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaids and maidservants I'll pour out of my spirit, and I'll show signs in the heaven above, and signs in the earth below, and pillars of fire and vapor of smoke. This shall come to pass before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come to pass. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said in there, these things that I do, you shall do in greater than this, for I go unto my Father. Hallelujah! Here's what he said in there, and the word back there, he said, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. A few years ago, the people around here said, you people up there at that tabernacle, is holy rollers, you're all this, that, and the other, you're crazy. But oh my, we stood on that, what was true, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now the power of Almighty God is part of the church coming forth. Hallelujah. I know you're all inside, it's going to shake the whole thing everywhere. Brother, it's already in session right now. It's going on. That's right. The deity of him. Who is he? Someone thinks him a little baby back there. He's the one that stood on the invisible, oh my, platform, raised out his hands and spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. That was Jesus Christ. Oh, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world recognized him not. He's the deity of God. Look what he did back there. Talk about the miraculous. Back there, he talked about shouting. When he performed the miraculous things to make things which are now out of things which was not, he spoke and it was so. And that same power, that same Christ, hallelujah, that the Son of Israel, that the people who deny the power of God, say it's wrong, but that same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people, it's not the Holy Ghost. Men and women, it's time that we found out who you are. The devil's trying to hide you back, tell you that you're some little cow down something you're not. You're sons and daughters of God. The deity is not in heaven to you. Hallelujah. I know you think I'm crazy, but let me tell you something, brother. When you realize that Almighty God lives in you, immortal life. My life I give Zoe. The life of God is in the human being. He stood back there. He's the creator of all things. He made life, frogs, all beasts, ducks, chickens, animals, created everything. And nothing was made but what was made by him. Who? Christ! The deity. He brought down plagues and everything in the days of Egypt. Who? Christ! He stopped the mouths of lions. He quenched the mouths of fire. They take the edge of the sword. They raise the dead from the grave. Who? Christ!
Oh, my. What was he? Who is he? Christ, the deity. And brother, sister, that deity is in you. Oh, I won't give you more yet. You shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you to the end of the age. Christ in the manger? No! Christ in you! Hallelujah!
Amen.
We're not worshiping Christ in the manger, but Christ in you! The Holy Ghost, the hope of life! Hallelujah! The Creator! God Himself! This does not yet appear what we shall be, but we'll see Him as He is, or we'll be made like Him! No room for Him. People around here say that they're of Christ. Their churches of Christ. They go to, what the heck, my son? Open up the Christmas presents. Let's see about Daddy. In there, under the Christmas tree of a many man last night, set a big box of beer somewhere. No room for Jesus. All for beer. Open up Mama's bread. A deck of cards. No room for Christ. Cards. That's right. Instead of a little Bible or something to the children, his little G-man book or something like that. No room for Jesus. Instead of going to church, he goes to show, dances, everything. He calls themselves Christians. Brother, when the deity of life by the Holy Ghost comes into the human heart, he cries about everything that Christ has. You know that's the truth. Ah, oh, Christ, the hope of glory in you, not in the cradle in you. That was one time God was back in the beginning. Then he come into Moses. He come into the children of Israel. He come into the cradle. But now they're worshiping way back like some prehistoric something when Christ is in you. Here he is today, the Son of God, moving up his great church and moving. Today the church has soup suppers, pie suppers. See who can dress the best. Going to the church for pomp, glory. Who got the best church, the best seats? Who can play this? Who can do that? And no room. All times they got something else to do besides prayer. They can't pray anymore. They got something else to do. They can't pray anymore. They just can't learn to serve God like they used to. No room for Him in the end. And this is in the end time, friend. No room for Him in the end. Of course, I know what that end means, but I'm referring to this end. But the Bible said in that day, when the almond tree shall flourish, desire of man shall fail because he goes to his long home and the mourners go about the street. Or the silver cord be broken, the pitcher broken, the fountain. Oh, mercy, my friends. But the prophet also said, it'll be light in the evening time. That's right, the path of glory you shall surely find. That's right, the evening time's come. The church now, that was once pressed back, that old manger experience that we've been through, has come to a place now that the people are realizing that the deity and the power of Almighty God is living in the human being. Oh, brother, sister, let me speak to you in the name of Jesus. Do you still hear me? Oh, my, let me tell you something. The time's coming when women and men are just about alike. They dress so much alike you can't tell one from the other. That's right. All those things in the Bible said would come to pass. It's here. That's right. You know that's the truth. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? It is the truth. They act alike, look alike, talk alike, talk alike. The Bible would be that way. He said, the last days, the peerless times have come. Men would be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Truth breakers, false accusers. Is it here? That's right. Oh, glory to God. I feel something rolling into my soul. I don't know when I look out here. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Noah had some faithful ones in that day. God's got some faithful ones today. The hour is coming, this great drama setting. Men and women, as the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. The Christ that was born 1900 years ago came to manhood. He never stayed in the cradle. And today, that memorial of his birthday, what do they do? They get some tree, cut it down, make a Christmas tree for the kiddies. But they say, that's all right. I'm not kicking against that, but the thing is, they put more on the Christmas tree than they do for Christ. Kris Kringle goes all over the country. Who was a German, a Catholic saint years ago. An old man went about doing good, and today it's become almost a worship. That's right, it's all right to tell the kiddies whatever you want to do as far as I'm concerned, but the thing of it is, it's so easy to fall in that rut on the other side and push out Christ in the real fundamentals of Christmas. And men take Kris Kringle instead of real Christmas. That's right. No room for him in the end. It's all drawn down. We had time and it was getting late. And it's getting late. But look, friends, the hour has come and is now. That when God's great drama set here before us, the Son of God that was in the cradle is in the heart now. He's the deity of God. He's God the Creator. He said all things, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And today that's what's the matter with the church. The hope of glory, the baptism of the Holy Ghost has come into the people's hearts and they don't recognize what it is. They think it's a little church joining or something like that. But that is the God the Creator living in you and giving you all the powers. And you're in possession of anything that he has. So is it in you to abstain from evil, to do good, to shun evil and flee to righteousness, to turn away from temptation, all malice, hatred, strife, envy, and so forth. Turn away from it, for that'll take him from your heart. If you will receive him, embrace him, and love him, and hold him in your heart, and love him, I tell you, the church together, and that kind of a power has the power to bind the heavens, keep him asleep, open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. The cripples walk, the blind see. Why, it's recognizing the power of Almighty God into your heart. There he is, the deity. You love him? The one of the poets said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Dear brother, sister, if you haven't caught the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, run into the kingdom of God as quick as you can. The sealing time is on. The enemy's coming like a flood. He's raising a standard against it. The drama's set. The church is going home as certain as anything. You haven't got all ways to wait, friends. You haven't got all the time to wait. You better come now. You better make it today. That's right, while today is today, make it now. Remember, friends, it may seem strange. The religion of Christ never was popular. It's always been unpopular. The religion of God, because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has all the governments. Every government is controlled by the devil, according to the Bible. The devil said it was. That's right. He controls all the governments. And then the Bible said, rejoice, all you holy angels and you saints upon the earth, for the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. And of his Christ in the day he shall reign. Satan took Jesus up on top of the mountain, showed him all the kings of the world, said, these are all mine, and I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. That's right. He wasn't carrying. He said, my kingdom of this world, I could call legions of angels, but my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is in heaven. And he said, the kingdom of God will be within you. So therefore, the legions and powers in the back of the holy angels, hallelujah, is in you this morning by the deity of Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Who are you this morning? Who is Christ Jesus? He's in you as much as you let him be. He's pressing, trying to get into you, to move into you today. And you stand off and wonder and look and gaze and hold back a little while. Don't do that. Move right straight into the kingdom of God. The hour's here. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love him. He's coming one of these days. I want to see him, don't you? I want to see him. I believe we will see him, don't you? He's here now. His power is moving. What makes the people cry and shout? Go on. What's the matter? It's the Holy Ghost moving in them. If they could only realize and embrace him. Embrace the Holy Ghost. Believe him. Hug him to your bosom. Live right. Do nothing that would hinder him. Say, oh Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you to stand by me. I'm going to stand by you, Father. And as you do, he is just pressing to get into you. He wants in there. He's wooing you to him all the time. I pray God knows this to be the truth. I know people don't realize who you are. Every person in here can live above sin, can live without sin. Living God, you'll make mistakes, but the blood of Christ will forgive you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that right? That same power of Christ that was hung on Calvary's cross, the same God that raised him up on the day of the resurrection, is in you now. You that's got the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't you love him? Oh, my. Hear his voice calling today. Move him up to your close bosom and say, or close into your bosom, and say, now, Lord Jesus, I've been a little different, but this Christmas day I realize who you are now. I once worshipped you as a little baby in a manger. I seen you back out there as a little bitty fella 1900 years ago, and I thought, oh, if I could have went up to Jerusalem. Today, they're getting past and everything to go up to the cradle, up to the place where he's born, the same manger. But friends, it's not up there where he was born. It's right here where he was born. God has brought him down to every one of us. And his living being is living in us. Oh, the Creator, the thing that created the world and created the heavens, created the earth, created man, is
right in every individual. It's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. That's the thing. That's the secret. Receive the Holy Ghost. He's in you. He's the hope of glory. And look here. In the Old Testament, as I've referred to it many times, when the contract was made, it was torn apart over a dead beast body. And those two contracts had to be come together. That contract had to dovetail one with the other. And today, God made a contract. Not because you were good. Not because you joined church. Not because you've been in a good ranking society. You can be ever so good. You can live a clean life. You can go to church every day. You can sacrifice every day. You can give a part of your money. You can give up all the sins of the world and everything and live just as true and faithful as you can. And you will miss heaven just as far as east is from the west. That's right. It isn't by goodness that we are saved, but it's by His mercy that we are bought. That God, born to make sons and daughters, goodness never makes them. The Spirit of God makes them. If it wasn't so, He wouldn't have had to send the Holy Ghost. How could the Holy Ghost be complete? How could the contract be complete? Jesus said, I'll go away, yet I'll come again and be with you even in here. Pray the Father, and He'll give you the Holy Ghost. He will abide with ever. And people put their name on church books, try to turn a new page on Christmas Day, try to walk down to church and pay a few tributes to the manger back here. When the Holy Ghost pushing in everywhere, and the world got in so fine, they go on the ground, they, well, that's a bunch of holy rollers, just like it was in the days of Noah. So is it now. The coming of the Son of God going now. That's right. And only those who are charged by the Holy Ghost, who have immortal life living in them, the Holy Ghost, that's the type that's going to be drawn from here. That's as pretty as anything. There was something other about that little ark in the days of Noah that floated on top of the water. It was a drawing power from above. There was a light in the top. Let the glory of God shine from heaven. Upon that ark. And I'll tell you today, friends, hear my words. There is a drawing power, not from the church, not from the pastor, but from glory. The passion of the Holy Ghost moving me down in that light chamber to draw the church. What is it? The power of God, the access to His life. Zoe, these things that I do shall you do also. Greater than this shall you do. He was persecuted and laughed at, made fun of, and died and went in the grave. But He was true. He had the Spirit of God in Him, and God raised Him up. If we go the same way, so shall we come out. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still hear me? You love Him? You love Him with all your heart? Isn't He wonderful? Oh, my eye has seen, ear has heard. What's recorded in God's Word? Isn't He wonderful? Wonderful. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, Jesus, I'm looking forward for a great hour. I see it coming. I see there's no hope nowhere else. I see the age moving up. I see the great red lights of communism swaying around over the earth. I see the far more churches taking a standard against your church, trying to condemn them, saying divine healing's wrong. It's a bunch of fanaticism, a building our own White House to close it down. Oh, but God, the other day sitting there and seeing those saintly people all illuminated with the power of God, looking up on their faces and seeing the glory of God, they can be like the Hebrew children of the fiery furnace. We'll never bow down. No, our God's able to deliver us. You'll come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I see the hour setting in when the form of godliness the people have, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, you said. The Spirit speaking for the last days. And here we are in that day today. Here's our little church sitting here, Lord. Men and women who, I believe, love you. And I pray, God, that Spirit that's filled in their hearts days gone by will now come deeper and more. May they lay aside every malice, every strife, everything that's unlike it, and move up today, not to the manger, but to Calvary. Not as altogether to Calvary, but to Christ, the hope of glory, the deity of God, the magnificence of God, the power of God that's now in our hearts, trying to draw us out of the things of the world, that He might take us out of this earth someday into a better land. God grant it today. Hear the prayer of your servant and speak to the people. If there's any lost in here, any without the Holy Spirit, may they receive of Thee this morning. Grant it, dear God. Or we ask it in the name of Thy dear beloved Son, Jesus, who 1900 years ago was born in a manger, who suffered 33 years later at Calvary for our sins, who ascended on the high a few days after that, 40 days later. He was received up into glory. Then 10 days later, come again. And the power of the Holy Ghost, and now living in the church. And soon, with that same power that raised Him, the Holy Ghost in the church to take it out. Oh, God, come, will you, and save the church. For we ask it in his name. While you have your hands up, we're going to say calling today. If there's anyone here without Christ, without God, without hope, will you come now? Calling today.
Man, women, boys, or girls, are without God. And I pray thee, Father, to be merciful. And I pray thee to be merciful to those who have been speaking. And not realize that you're near in their heart. And realizing that little things of the world seem to care to them. I pray, God, that everyone here this morning will be really concentrated in you. For the coming days to come, you don't know how much longer we're going to wait before you're coming. We may try to fool. And after a while, people are going to try to get saved. I'm thinking of those young people that night down at the altar trying to be saved, but across the line. No rejection for them, they were gone. Could not be saved. Father, I just pray that you'll bless each one while it is time for salvation. That they will receive it today for me as in Jesus.
Let's stand. How many love him with all your heart? Don't you want to get just a little closer to him? Love him just a little bit more. Let's say, I surrender all as we raise our hands to him this morning in tribute. Will you do that? Give us a lead there.
Just not a word, triple word to testimony. It's like, I love Jesus. Just say no more than that with Jesus.
That's right. Somebody else.
I love Jesus.